Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Hello, and welcome to the Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Today on our podcast, I want to start with a question. Have you ever been looking for a service or a program by a state agency or government or local government, and you just couldn't find something? You were very frustrated. It wasn't available to you. Perhaps it wasn't accessible, or the website wasn't well organized. Well, I don't think you're alone. Today, we're going to talk about a program from the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities that is implementing a program to address this issue. We're joined today by Terry Morgan, who's the Executive Director of the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities. Now, Terry's been working in services to people with disabilities for 30-plus years, where she has been supporting and learning from these folks as she worked in residential and community services in the beginning, transitioning to state government around 2001 when she joined the Board for People with Disabilities as a program manager. She transitioned to the Department for Medical Assistance Services in 2014, looking at Medicaid waiver operations and policy. She rejoined the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities in 2020, where she's now the executive director. Terry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'm really excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. Now, I had the pleasure of working with you on the Youth Leadership Forum and the Partners in Policymaking that the board was running back, around 2010 to 2014. And I just don't know that all of our listeners understand the important work that is being done by the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities. Can you give us a quick overview of the Virginia Board and its mission?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities serves as Virginia's Developmental Disabilities Council. What that means, there's a piece of federal law called the Developmental Disabilities Assistance and Bill of Rights Act that requires every state and U.S. territory to have a Developmental Disabilities Council, or DD Council. And the board serves as Virginia's DD Council. There's 56 DD Councils across the nation and in U.S. territories, and our role is to support capacity building, systems change, and advocacy activities for people with developmental disabilities. And we do that in a variety of different ways. You mentioned our training programs, which we're very, very proud of. Our Partners in Policymaking program is a leadership and advocacy training program for parents of young children with disabilities and adult self-advocates that teaches the competencies around how to influence changes in public policy, how to communicate with legislators, how to be an effective disability policy change agent. And then we also have the Youth Leadership Forum. Now it's called the Youth Leadership Academy. That's a leadership program for rising high school sophomore, juniors, and seniors that takes place on a college campus for a week. It's an immersive program that really focuses on individual leadership development and skills around self-determination, and identifying goals beyond high school. You know, what supports are you going to need? What is your, you know, vision for your future? And how to develop a personal leadership plan for that vision. So we do those advocacy trainings. We also fund grants to nonprofits and community organizations to build capacity for systems change activities, for services and supports, and opportunities that ensure that people with disabilities are fully included in all aspects of community life. And we do a lot of work in policy. We do policy assessments that have a number of recommendations that we advocate for collaboratively with a number of other advocacy organizations and in coalitions. So really, you know, our policy work, our grant funding, and our advocacy and leadership training programs are a part of our core activities.
You know, I had some experience with that Youth Leadership Now Academy, and I saw these young people there learning some serious skills that will help them in the future, like self-advocacy, learning to ask for the supports they're going to need to be successful in life. So I think there's a lot of positive growth change that happens in these academies, and the policymaking folks that I was around were doing some incredible projects to help in their areas and making inclusion a big part of those particular initiatives. It was exciting to watch these folks. So I commend the board on the work that you've been doing with that. But one of the things that I think is very interesting that you've moved into, and I'm thinking, I was reading it was coming from one of your annual assessments that you do, or maybe it's biannual assessments. You developed a new initiative. It actually turned into the initiative of the Information Access Champions. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Our board, the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities, is led by a 40-member governor-appointed board. 30 of our members are appointed by the governor. And the other 10 members represent state agencies, local governments, all required in the DD Act. So our membership is really dictated by the Developmental Disabilities Act. 60% of the members of our board are people with disabilities or family members of people with disabilities. And that's, again, required in the Act. So it really gives them, you know, the leverage to steer the direction of our board, while they can also learn from the state agency representatives who sit on our board. And when we were going through our planning process for our five-year state plan, we do public discussions, we talk with board members, really trying to determine what the priority issues are, what's affecting people with disabilities and families, and how can we have an impact on that. One of the things that came up again and again, and it has for a while, but the challenges of getting accurate, reliable, and usable information about services and supports that people with disabilities want and need, information that that's easily understood, that's accessible, that's accurate, that's not outdated, and those challenges, the impact that they have on people when they don't get the information that they need, when they need it, how they need it, and whether that impact is, you know, not accessing a service that you need that's really going to benefit you or your child, or being given incorrect information that has you, you know, running in circles. We heard a lot of stories from people who are told they need to go here or they need to go to another place, and they're just like going around in circles without really getting exactly what they need, which is, you know, not only extremely frustrating, but families and people with disabilities have so many experiences of having to fight for what they are eligible for, entitled to, what should be available to them, and they shouldn't have to fight, and it's just a constant battle.
I think one of the things that happens, too, is these services are things that are not known generally by the public until all of a sudden they need them. And a lot of times when they enter in that mode, they're in a panic mode because they're just really desperate to find some information on something that may help them or something else they've just learned. And they're trying to get the what do I do next kind of information. And as you said, sometimes it's hard to find, or it's just not accurate, or it's outdated. So that's a very frustrating experience for people.
Yeah, so when we heard about that during public forums and from our board and board members, we wanted to tackle it in some way, but we weren't really certain the best way to tackle it. One of the things that we're required to do by the Code of Virginia is two assessments of the disability services system each year. And the board made the decision to do an assessment of information access. What we really realized we needed was more information, greater understanding, to help us come up with a strategy and a plan to try to improve. So we, in 2022, we released an assessment called Access to Information for People with Disabilities and Their Family Members. And the way the assessment was completed was really trying to understand the experience of people with disabilities and family members when trying to access information. So we went through a number of focus group discussions in three or four different languages that were conducted, so we could really understand from people who maybe don't speak English as their primary language in different areas of the state, And, you know, what we gleaned from that information, you know, helped us understand the challenges as well as the impact. So we released that assessment in 2022, and we pulled together a steering committee because one of the things that was really clear, you know, it's almost a difficult problem to articulate because it's so widespread, so complex, and so layered that it's hard to even know where to start. It's really
like there's just a lot of things going on that may be the problem, and how do you sort them out?
How do you sort them out? And we really decided it's a systemic issue. It's a systemic issue that crosses systems and needs a systemic solution. So in November of 2022, we held an information access summit where we invited local agency representatives, state agency representatives, people with disabilities, and family members to share the findings from the assessment and assessment recommendations, but also drill in deeper into where do we go? You know, what direction do we take in order to have an impact, in order to create change? And through the findings of the assessment, the summit, as well as the steering committee that's continued to meet for the last year, that's where Information Access Champions was born.
So you have a body of information that says there's a problem, and then you got a number of advocates together, people with disabilities and others, to say, what are we going to do about this? How do we make it so people can find the information, not be frustrated in the process? And then it sounds like you put a plan together to say, this is how we're going to do it.
Yes, that's correct. And one of the things that we discovered when we were looking at how do we approach this, one, that it's a systemic issue. And what that means is that it's not owned by any one agency, any organization, any locality. It's a shared ownership across the system. So in order to start having a positive impact, we need to first raise awareness about the issue, gain acknowledgement across the system that this is an issue that needs to be addressed, but it needs to be addressed collaboratively.
So when you say you raise awareness, and you're basically talking about making sure that some of the agencies involved in providing the information understand that there's an issue with how the information is being provided, that they need to address this systematically.
Correct. That they need to...
They need to own the issue.
Mm-hmm. And first, you know, it comes with acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And with the Information Access Champions Initiative, we're asking organizations, state agencies, local agencies, private providers, to acknowledge that there's a problem, to take ownership for their part of helping to develop solutions and fix the problem, and to pledge to do better. We're really trying to build a community across the system that says we have a role in this. We want to do better. We can do better. And we need to work together collaboratively to do that. And the first part of systemic change is really to build momentum and partnership across the system. So this first phase of Information Access Champions is really about education. It's about gaining commitment, getting organizations and agencies to pledge. And through that pledge, they're saying that we commit to the values of Information Access Champions. And those values include accessibility, that people with disabilities should be able to get the information that's important to them, how they need it in an accessible way, that's not full of jargon, not full of acronyms, code language from the or regulatory language, that's easy to understand, but that's also accessible to screen readers, that websites are accessible. So accessibility is the first value. The second value is inclusion, acknowledgement that all people should have access to information that respects their culture, is translated well, and meets their community's needs and preferences, so that it's inclusive in a broad sense. Collaboration is the third value, that people with disabilities, families, advocates, service providers, and policymakers should work together to make information access inclusive. People with disabilities and families need to be a part of the solution, needs to be transparent. Their input needs to be sought throughout this process of systemic change. And we all need to collaborate. And then the fourth value is continuous improvement. that plans for information access should be regularly reviewed, that technology changing needs are going to require just a constant, continuous quality improvement focus.
So they got to keep up with the changes in the technology so that they can continue to be sure their programs are accessible in terms of information.
Right. And as new technology is developed, mm-hmm. and we can continue to improve. You know, there's been an explosion in technology that makes things more accessible and usable to a variety of different people. And we need to take advantage of that technology and also evolve as technology mm-hmm. and best practices evolves.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier that I find interesting is when you talk about your value of accessibility, it's not just that a website is accessible. That for a screen reader, it's that the website is accessible for a screen reader and that the information is set forth in a way that's understandable, that you can navigate the website in a way that gets you to the information you're seeking. I mean, that's beyond what a lot of people think of when they think of accessibility.
Yes, I think we're seeing, you know, a lot more acknowledgement of the importance of easy read language, mm-hmm. plain language, information that's accessible needs to be easily understood. I mean, you know, I'm a professional working in this area for over 30 years, and, you know, I sometimes still have to scratch my head and read something that's for people with disabilities and families, and yeah. I have to read it 3 or 4 times before I
understand it. Just to understand it, yeah.
And, you know, that's not accessible, usable information.
Yeah. I think the other thing in there is that keeping it up to date, regulations change. You need to be sure people get it on their websites fast enough because it might make a difference in eligibility for something. It's an interesting conundrum that people find themselves in. I was looking at a website the other day and it had incorrect information from about 2 years ago still on there, and they just hadn't bothered to make the change.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do better, and we should do better, and we should all hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And you know, what we're trying to also emphasize with Information Access Champions and getting agencies to pledge and to be committed to change, we're not trying to shame anybody. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to, you know, wag our finger.
This isn't a gotcha.
Yeah, it isn't a gotcha. We want just acknowledgement that we can all do better. We're going to make mistakes. But we need to be committed to doing better. It needs to be on the front of mind. And we need new strategies for when information is created and developed, how it's going to be made, you know, usable, accessible, understandable on the front end. Yeah, it needs to be a question that's asked, you know, at the beginning of the process of developing resources and guidance.
And I remember when I was running a program for people with disabilities, that I had to have some of my emails that were going to go out to a larger audience, not just our counselors. They needed to be read by somebody else who wasn't sitting in the central office building, because often what I thought was clear wasn't clear to others.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like what you have in process here is that the information as it goes out might be reviewed or somehow checked on to be sure that it is understandable, those who aren't as familiar with the day-to-day services that we're providing.
That is one of the strategies that we're recommending. And one of the things that we recognize is that, you know, a lot of this, it's awareness, but mm-hmm. it's also a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to develop skills and competencies around this in the system. And it needs to be a priority. And I mentioned our four values: accessibility, inclusion, collaboration, and continuous improvement. And on our website, we've developed resource guides provide, in a number of different ways, guidance on what accessibility means, how to make things easily understood, how to ensure that websites are accessible. The same with inclusion, bringing people with disabilities and families, you know, into the process. Whether it's, you know, you develop a small group that agrees to review things and provide you feedback before you put it out,
mm-hmm.
Because that's a really important, you know, part of the process. Work on the front end can save so much time on the back end for agencies and organizations. It's just kind of flipping, instead of being reactive, being more proactive. And instead of putting something out that's incorrect and then having a lot of complaints and people don't understand something where you have to then take it down and remediate, spend time on the front end getting it as good as possible.
Yeah, I think another thing that you're helping with is there are agencies that might be spending extra time because the information that's out there is inaccurate, and then you have an agency staff that has to explain, well, that's not correct anymore. So you have an expectation that's raised by something on the website, and then when they get into the direct service part of it or trying to get the service, they're finding out that it's not that way anymore, and it just takes longer, I think, for people to sort out what's accurate, and then they also don't trust the system anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. As part of our assessment and with the summit and on our steering committee, we have agencies and information providers represented. And certainly hear frustration from people who are looking for information, mm-hmm. people with disabilities and families, but we also hear frustration from staff and employees of these agencies and organizations who have to do exactly what you said, you know, explain that something that is incorrect, that may be on their own website, that something's changed and it hasn't been updated yet, that they get a question and they want to be able to direct somebody to the right place. But, you know, professionals who are working mm-hmm. in this area don't know themselves where to get the right information. So they end up sending people to the wrong place. And that's very frustrating for them. You know, one of the things we are also focusing on is customer service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is really a service to people. And, you know, organizations, agencies, employees want to provide a good service, but they don't have the tools often to be responsive to what people are asking for. So how do we develop a culture of customer service where, you know, across the system, people have the information they need?
What just popped into my head as you were talking is that a lot of this information that's on the web these days is the first time somebody encounters your program, the first time they experience what your services are. And if that experience isn't good, then the customer service experience is at the next level is also not going to be good, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about making sure that what you're offering people is the best you can be for the people that we're serving.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also about, you know, when I said it's systemic, you know, there are multiple layers and multiple complexities. It's about training.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having a feedback loop
from staff
as well as your customers, and really taking and analyzing that feedback and figuring out how we can improve that continuous improvement. It's a culture.
How do you create a culture that believes and looks forward to the feedback loop?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they can be better.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, what does it mean for an agency to commit to this? It sounds like there's a process where they make a commitment somehow.
Yes. On our website, vbpd.virginia.gov, we have our Information Access Champions webpage, and we provide a number of pieces of information, an overview of what an Information Access Champion is, and what it means to commit to the values of being an information access champion, to acknowledge that there's a problem and commit to try to do better for your organization. So organizations take the pledge right on the website. You fill out an online form right there. Once you take the pledge, you get listed on our wall of champions. So we have a wall of champions where we're listing agencies and organizations that have taken the pledge. We have our resources on our webpage. And we're going to be continuing to add to and further develop the resources that are available. And we're going to be providing training associated with the different values that we'll make open to those who have taken the pledge and the commitment. And we're going to be announcing a training series sometime in the near future. We also have developed posters, you know, poster-sized mm-hmm. posters that we're sending. They're both in English and in Spanish that we're sending to organizations that take the pledge. Because, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, this is about being proactive instead of reactive. And we first have to raise awareness. So we have information access champion posters that say the values, what the values mean, where to get different information, where we want organizations to put their posters, you know, in their elevators, in their staff kitchens, in their hallways, so people can be constantly reminded that this is something we need to pay attention to. We need to remember this.
So it's not only for the clients, it's also for the staff of the organizations that they have made this commitment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's the staff who are often creating the information, that mm-hmm. are creating the resources, that need to be thinking more proactively about how do we demonstrate these values in our work.
This sounds like an excellent approach to making sure that what we're doing, the information that's out there, is going to be useful to people with disabilities. And I see it having a huge value for our friends who are listeners, probably the listeners of this podcast, that are either are blind or have low vision, because having those websites be more accessible and people paying attention to that and organizing the information better will definitely make it easier for us to get on and absorb this information and have it usable to us. So I think this is truly an important initiative that you all have created, and I salute you for that. And I'm excited to hear more about it. Maybe you can come back next year and tell us how well it's going, because this is just, I think it's timely as well. Terry, if folks out there want to learn more about this, could you tell them again the website and the kinds of information or who they might contact if they want some more information?
Sure. You can go to our website, vbpd.virginiaspelledout.gov, where we have information about the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities and the Information Access Champions Initiative. You can contact us at 804-786-0016, and we'd be happy to provide you with additional information. One of the things that we also have on our website on the how you can help with the Information Access Champions Initiative, we want stories, experiences from individuals with disabilities and families about information access challenges or successes. We also want to hear what people are doing really well and if you had a good experience. So we have a form, a story form right on our website where you can tell us about, you know, a good experience, a challenge that you've had, an organization that you think is doing really well, so that we can share that story on our website. And we would touch base with you first before we did that. But also we want to highlight and shine the light on where information access is going really well. You know, we want to show good practices, best practices, and lift up agencies and organizations that are doing a really good job.
I think that's an excellent strategy, that people are doing well, and then those that might not be doing so well, where some of the challenges are, and putting that forward. That's excellent. Well, Terry, we really appreciated you taking the time to come in and share information on your new initiative, the Information Access Champions, and we wish you the best of luck with this.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. I'd be happy to come back and give you an update.
Excellent. Thank you for listening in today on The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. I hope you found some information that was useful to you, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode.